The first reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are a creation of the Almighty God. He made you, and he gave you everything that you have. He serves you by sustaining you and placing you in community where you can receive from and share with others. He is to you a loving Father who does all of these things purely out of divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness on your part. But your being and possessions and neighbors are only the beginning of the fatherly divine love and mercy he has shown and still shows you. He also gave his son, his only son, whom he loves, to be your Lord, to redeem you from sin, from death, and from the devil, so that you would not perish, but have everlasting life. And make no mistake, regardless of all of the earthly blessings God provides you, you would have perished for your sin if God had not sent his Son. The testimony of Scripture is clear in this. None is righteous. No, not one. All have turned aside. The law stops every mouth and holds the whole world accountable to God. Keep the whole law. Love God above all things 100% of the time. Never misuse his name. Gladly hear and learn his word all the time. Honor and respect those with authority over you at home, at work, and in government. Never have any ill will toward anyone for any reason. Be sexually pure and chaste continuously. Never steal. Never ever sin with what you say about anyone. Be perfectly content, never wanting anything but what God has given you or enabled you to acquire. Even if you've done all of these things perfectly, except for just one time, and you know how impossible this is, for just a single day, even a single hour, much less for your whole life. Even if you've done all of these things perfectly, except for just one time, you have earned death and hell. God tells us, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. And the wages of sin is death. Death here in time and eternally in hell. And even if it were possible for you to obey every commandment perfectly all the time, which it isn't, you still wouldn't have dealt with the problem that you were brought forth in iniquity, a sinner from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. You needed someone to be your Lord, to redeem and save you. And your Heavenly Father saw your need and sent his Son for that purpose, to save you. There's a bit of a problem with the way that I laid out this series of meditations on the Apostles' Creed. Or maybe I should say that the themes I established for this week and next might tend to mislead. The theme this week is, I believe in Jesus Christ, God and man. And next week's is, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Redeemer. Now, there's plenty in this second article to fill up many more than two sermons. But these themes suggest that it is both possible and appropriate to consider Jesus' person, God and man, in isolation from his work, redemption. That is simply not the case. Jesus' incarnation and crucifixion go together. He joined you as a true human being from conception in the Virgin's womb and birth through growing up and then being put to death all for just one reason, to redeem you, to bring you forgiveness and eternal life. When Luther wrote his barber, a man named Peter, answering a question regarding how to pray, among the instructions Luther gave was the encouragement to meditate on the second article of the Apostles' Creed in this way. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit for me, born of the Virgin Mary for me, suffered under Pontius Pilate for me, was crucified for me, died for me, and was buried for me. He descended into hell for me. The third day he rose again from the dead for me. He ascended into heaven for me and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty for me. From thence he will come for me to judge the living and the dead. From the beginning to the end, from who he is to what he does, Luther wants you and me to understand that Jesus' person and his work are all about you, all for your sake and for your salvation. With this in mind, we turn now to considering Jesus' incarnation, the Son of God who was begotten in eternity, who then was conceived in time by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin named Mary, and born to her as one who is also truly, genuinely human. This is the wonder our text from Luke conveys to us. A child, a son, conceived and born to a sinner, will be Jesus, the Lord, saving his people. A human being who is also the Son of the Most High, an eternal heir for King David, one who is holy, the Son of God. In one of his sermons, Luther noted, it is no difficult matter for God to have a virgin give birth to a baby boy. It is a very great thing, however, that God became a human being and that the Virgin herself may be the mother of God. And this is exactly what Luke describes in the reading we heard. Not just a virgin giving birth, but the Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity, becoming also true man even as he remains fully divine. That this is exactly what was happening is evident from Gabriel's words to Mary. The son you bear will be called the Son of the Most High, holy, the Son of God. What is not so obvious from Gabriel's words is why. Why God was doing this. But even that is included if we look at his instructions to Mary about naming her child. You shall call his name Jesus, he says. Jesus, which means Yahweh, that is the Lord, saves. As the angel explained more expansively when he repeated his instruction to Mary's betrothed, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This Jesus, God's Son from eternity, takes on human flesh in order to accomplish the Father's plan to save you. As Luther puts it, he was conceived for your benefit, so that he could purify you and make you unsullied, along with all believers, by removing the effects of your sinful conception and accursed birth. From the womb to the tomb, and at every single stage in between, Jesus has been there as your divine and human brother, been there in order to redeem and sanctify. From Luther again, this now is the path of the Lord Christ, from birth on through our whole life, that he indeed has experienced all things and has acted as we do, and therefore, because he himself has touched it all, he has accomplished and sanctified all things. Nothing can make us unclean. No food, no eating or drinking, no clothing, no sleeping, no waking, going, standing. And a Christian cannot see, hear, touch anything that would cause him to sin so long as he remains in faith. For it is through Jesus that everything has become pure and has been made holy by his holy eyes, mouth, hands, feet, and all body parts, indeed clothing and his whole life. That means that there is no compartment of our life, whether it be an internal or external situation, no banality of physical existence, and no abyss of psychic suffering that exists where we would be alone with our doubts and struggles, desires and joys. Christ has already been everywhere we can go, before we go there. And he therefore is with us. The Word, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and dwelt here on earth. In this he revealed the goodness and mercy of the Father by opening through his flesh the way for sinners, the way for you and for me to receive from God forgiveness and eternal life. That work, the work of Jesus as your Lord, will receive our focused attention next Wednesday. But even now, the message is clear. In love, God gave his Son for you. He humbled himself to take on the form of one who serves, to be born as a man for just one reason: in order to redeem you. See what kind of love the Father has given to you. please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.